בסימנת טבל, let's begin the מסכת, בעזרת השם, מסכת פסחים, דף ב' עמוד א', the משנה begins with the word אור, light, אור לארבעה עשר, בודקים את החמץ לאור הנר. אור לארבעה עשר, shot of the משנה is the eve, the night of the 14th of Nisan, אור לארבעה עשר, בודקים את החמץ, we check, we search for חמץ לאור הנר, with the light of a candle. That's important, those two words, לאור הנר, light of the candle. The Gemara will talk about that in Daf Zayin. So we're going to put that away in our mind. But אור הנר is actually very specific, and the Gemara will tell us a few reasons why.
Right. Why did you say on the eve of the 14th, right away?
Just to know that it means Lil. It means the night of. That's what I meant by Eve.
No, I'm saying, like, why are you, like, classifying it right away? At this point, like, the right way to learn when you have, like, this sort of situation, what made you say the Eve?
Okay. Right. So you have a good point. If I would not... You're saying that if I would not have learned the Gemara later on, how would I have known to translate the word Or L'Arba'asar, the Eve of... You're right. If I would just be looking at the Mishnah for the first time, I would say light of the 14th, which means the day of the 14th, I would think. Right? So that's true. I'm explaining it based on the Maskana of the Gemara. Based on the Maskana of the Gemara, that Or L'Arba'asar means the night of. Even Rashi doesn't really help us right away. But we rely on the fact that we know that Bidikat Chametz is the night of the 14th. And therefore, that must be what the Mishnah means. And that's what the Maskana of the Gemara is going to be. But you're right. There's going to be a whole discussion, as you know. What does the word Or mean? So, you know, if you're looking at it for the first time, yeah, you would probably make the mistake in translating it the day of. But then you would realize the mistake when you learn the Gemara. So, Or L'Arba'asar, Bodkim et HaChametz Le'Or HaNer. That's statement number one. Statement number two, kol makom she'en machnisim bo chametz, en tzarich bedika. Any place that we do not normally take chametz into it does not require bedika. That's why, for example, we don't do bedikat chametz in the bathrooms. Do you ever remember doing bedikat chametz in the bathroom? Or in the shower? No. Because that is a classic... Makom she'en machnisim sham chametz. It's not normal at all for chametz to be brought into the bathroom. Now, you might tell me, if let's say you have a family with many kids, and kids, you know, they do what they want. They definitely bring food into the bathroom or something like that. So yeah, so, you know, you'd have to make sure that there's no chametz there. But normally, I'm just giving an example, that would be a makom she'en machnisim sham chametz. There's no chiyuv to do bedikat chametz in such a place. En tzarich bedika. The third point, which is really an explanation on the second point, the Mishnah continues. I'm just reading the Mishnah first, okay? The Mishnah continues and says, Ubame amru bet shurot bamartef makom shemachnisim bo chametz. What were they referring to when they said, two rows in the cellar is considered a place shemachnisim bo chametz? What did they mean when they said that? So the answer is, it's a machloket bet shamay bet hilel. Bet shamay omrim bet shurot al pene kol hamartef. Bet Shammai say, when it says Bet Shurot, when it says two rows of barrels of wine in the wine cellar, it means two rows going across the entire cellar. Now, I'm just explaining the words, because there's going to be a machloket in the Gemara. What does that mean? What does Bet Shammai mean? But let's just picture for now, for argument's sake, let's picture you have rows of barrels in the cellar, one row on top of another. So when you enter into the wine cellar, you're immediately greeted with, let's say, three or four rows of barrels. And when you go to the side, when you go around, you'll see also three or four rows, because let's say you have like four rows of barrels, and each one there is 10, right? So it's four squared. So now, oh, thank you. I thought I lost you for a second. So there you go. So I said four, you have five rows over here, each one has three, okay? So now, it's a bit, you know, so according to Beit Shammai, it means the top row on each side, okay? So the top three and the top three on the other side, like an L shape. That's according to Beit Shammai. Ubet Hillel omrim, shte shurot achitzonot shehem ha'elyonot. And according to Beit Hillel, it means no, the two outer rows that are on top, which means you count from the ceiling one row and then the second row, and that's it. You don't go from the side, you only look at the top two. This all depends, this revolves around what part of the wine cellar can we consider makom shemachnisim bo chametz? Because what happens is, especially in the olden days, this was the lifestyle then, that you had a butler. Everybody is sitting by the meal, and there was no such a thing as a meal without wine. And the butler is serving wine, and the wine finished. So now he has to go down to the wine cellar to get wine. Sometimes what happens is, the shamash, the butler himself, is holding a pita falafel. He's holding a sandwich. He's also eating while he's serving. So as he's going down to get the wine, he's coming down with his sandwich. And now he's taking one barrel down. So what does he do? Naturally, he places his sandwich in between the barrels. And he'll say, I'll get to it soon. And he brings down the barrel. So what do we see here? There is a part of the wine cellar which is definitely a makom shemachnisim bo chametz. Not the entire wine cellar. So the question is, where is that part? According to Beit Shammai, it's what they said, and according to Beit Hillel, it's what they said. And that, again, will be discussed in the Gemara when we get to it later. So, by the way, I just want to point out something that I love to always point out, because I think this is very, very important. I'm sure right away you'll see that you heard this from me many times. Don't you feel the Kedusha from the language of the Mishnah? What did the Mishnah say? Ubame amru. The Mishnah itself is asking a question, what did they mean when they said? Whoa, who's they? The Mishnah is, you know, the Mishnah, right? So that means when the Mishnah is saying, what did they mean when they said? That's usually the type of question that you expect the Gemara to ask on the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah mean when it said this? Here we have a very unique thing, that the Mishnah itself is asking, Bame Amru. Isn't that beautiful? And who is answering that question? Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. The answer to the Bame Amru is the Machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Now, to put this into the perspective that we should have here is, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are way before Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Generations before Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. In other words, let's not stay with our fifth grade mentality. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the one who authored and wrote the Mishnayot. That's ridiculous. If Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the one who composed the words of the Mishnayot, this Mishnah does not make sense. Because who's asking Bame Amru? And who's answering it? Everyone is way before Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi only collated everything. He brought everything together. He brought the Mishnayot together. But these words, the Nusach HaMishnayot, is ancient. It's way back. Goes much before Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Which means like this. And by the way, Rabbi Akiva Eigel, maybe if you have those pages which we'll get to of the Mishnayot that we learned yesterday, so I'll show this to you in the Tosfot Rabbi Akiva Eigel on the Mishnah, he points this out. he says that who's asking Bameh Amru? That means up till the word Bameh Amru. In other words, from the word Or L'Arba Asar, listen to this Meiro, you're going to love this. From the word Or L'Arba Asar, Bodkim et hachametz l'or haner, kol makom shen machnisim bo chametz, en tzarich bedika. Stop right there. Those words, you know who said them? Where do they come from? Rabbi Yehuda Anasi? No way. No way. It's not even Bet Hillel, Bet Shammai, who were 100, 150 years before Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. It's way back. It's way back. Here we have the beginning of the Mishnayot, which was handed down to us from Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, that's the Torah Shebe'al Peh. After many years of handing it down orally, it was actually formulated by the Anshe Knesset HaGdola. Are you listening, guys? The Anshe Knesset HaGdola, the rabbis of the Great Assembly, at the time, right after the Chorban Bayit Rishon, so I'm talking 500 years before Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, formulated these words, Makom She'en Machnisim Bo Chametz En Tzarich Bedika. So over those 500 years, a question arose. Bameh Amru? Where? When they said the words, Bet Shurot Bamartef, Makom She'machnisim Bo Chametz. That was the line, that was the sentence that they received, Bemasoret, handed down orally from generation to generation. Two rows in the Martef are considered Makom She'machnisim Bo Chametz. For many years, everybody knew what that was talking about. But then it started to become blurry. And then we had a Machloket, Bet Hillel, Bet Shammai, what that means. So here we have, in one Mishnah, we have two phases, historical phases of the Mishnah. The first three lines is the ancient Nusach from Moshe Rabbeinu. Bameh Amru is also ancient as far as we're concerned. It was before Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, but it was in the time of Bet Hillel, Bet Shammai. Bameh Amru, Bet Hillel say like this, Bet Shammai say like this. So this Mishnah is very, very old, and you can prove it from, you know, like they say, the proof is in the pudding. From the Mishnah itself, you see the antiquity of this Mishnah. I feel that's a very important point to point out whenever we can. And we see this again and again. Usually we see this more clearly in the first Mishnayot of a Masechet or of a Perek. In the early Mishnayot of a Masechet or of a Perek, you see the ancient Nusach, what the Baal Dorot HaRishonim calls Ikar HaMishnah. And then, in addition to that, the later generation Tanaim, their commentary on that preliminary Nusach of the Mishnah. And sometimes, very rarely, do we see Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi add a little notation, you know, a last line. Very rarely. Rarely do you see Rabbi in the Mishnah. Rarely. That's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, of course. Okay. That's important, whether you feel that's important right now, or one day in 20 years from now when you look back and say, hey, I remember he spoke about this. I'm glad I heard him say that. It's a very important thing to remember. Let's see what Rashi says, guys. Let's see. O L'Arba'asar Garsinan. The Girsa is O L'Arba'asar, which means that you use a Lamed. O, the eve, the night, of the Le, over here means of the 14th of Nisan. Some Mefarshim point out that there was a different Girsa, O Arba'asar. So Rashi says, Le Arba'asar, okay, that's not for now. Le Or Haner, to the light of the candle, Bagmara Dav Zayin Amud Bet, Mefaresh Tama. The Gemara will tell us a reason, more than one reason, why we use the light of a candle specifically for Bedikat Chametz. That will be on Dav Zayin Amud Bet. So we have a lot to get through till we get to there. Next line in Rashi, which we're going to be spending some time on for the next few days, Bodkim Shelo Ya'avor Alav Bebal Yera'eh Ubal Yimatzeh. Simply, Rashi is telling us the reason of Bedikat Chametz. The reason for Bedikat Chametz is in order not to transgress the Avera of Bal Yera'eh Ubal Yimatzeh. It says in the Torah, we say it in kadeshen vehaya kivyacha lo yira'e lecha chametz velo yimatze lecha seor b'chol gevulecha. So these are two separate lavim when it comes to owning and having chametz during Pesach. If a person owns a kazait of chametz or has it in his reshut, he's over on lo yira'e velo yimatze. And it seems here clearly from Rashi that the reason of bedika, of botkim et hachametz, the reason for searching out the chametz and removing it from the house, is in order not to be over on lo yira'e velo yimatze. We're going to see Tosfot argues with Rashi. They ask a big question on Rashi here, and we'll see how to deal with it soon. Ubame amru lekaman bematniti. Later on, this quote that the Mishnah quotes, shtei shurot b'martef, makom shemachnisim bo chametz, this is a quote, as I told you, from earlier generation in the Mishnah. It happens to be placed later on in the Perek, in the Mishnah later on. So in other words, it's as if you have the old Mishnah talking, and parenthetically, we have b'me amru. So what did they mean when they said later, right? Shtei shurot b'martef is makom shemachnisim bo chametz. So let's see what Rashi says. Shtei shurot shel chaviyot, two rows of barrels, hasdurot b'martef shel yain, that are arranged in a wine cellar. Tzarich livdok b'nehem, you have to check for chametz between the rows, between the barrels. After we said that any place that is not normal to bring chametz into, you don't have to check. Rashi is learning that the question of Bame Amru is why. Not only which rows, but why do we have to check shtei shurot? Didn't you just tell me that makom she'en machnisim bo chametz en tzarich bedika? So we assume that a wine cellar, that's not a place where people eat. That's where you store wine. So it's makom she'en machnisim bo chametz. So why is it that we have to check there? Umefaresh. So the Mishnah explains, says Rashi, lo amru ela b'martev she'machnisim bo chametz. That halakha applies only in regards to a wine cellar where it is normal, or in the place in the wine cellar where it is normal to bring in chametz. Kegon, for example, martev shemistapek mimenu yayin leshulchano. It could be that it sounds from the Lashon of Rashi here that there were different type of martefim. Martef means basement or cellars. And so it sounds from Rashi like there were different types of cellars. There was a wine cellar that was strictly for the purpose of selling wine. Cellar is with a C, but selling is with a S. No mistake there, please. Where you would sell wine from, meaning your job is to sell wine, like Rashi himself, Rashi HaKadosh, that's what he did. And so you would have a cellar with barrels where you would constantly bring, you know, to customers. That's the entire cellar is not a place shemachnisim bo chametz. You never have any reason to bring chametz there. But the type of basement, the type of cellar that we're talking about here in the Mishnah, is the type that you actually supply, you take from during the meal, which means a cellar that is in one's home, and in the middle of the meal, you go downstairs to get more wine. That's a different type of cellar. That can lead to a possibility of makom she machnisim bo chametz. That's the type of cellar that we are talking about. So that's how it sounds what Rashi is saying when he says, kegon martef, for example, a martef she mistapek mimenu yayin. Mistapek means you supply yourself with wine, leshulchano, for your table. Upeamim, shachar, you have the place in Rashi? What's the finish off? Help me out over here. Finish off the Rashi over here. Upeamim.
Upeamim shashemal shomel limzog yain.
Very good.
Ufito.
Ufito.
Ufito beedo.
Very good. Okay, so translate every word now. I'm very proud. You didn't say Upeamim Shashemesh. You said Shamash. Very good.
The Shamash is standing to pour wine, and he has a pita in his hand, bread in his hand. When the yain finishes, he goes to the cellar to bring more wine.
Very good. So therefore, that makes it. It renders the cellar a makom shemachnisim bo chametz. Shte shurot al pene kol amartef. So who is the one who said that? Bet Shammai. Bet Shammai explained shte shurot al pene kol amartef. Bagmara mefaresh maihi. She says, don't get all entangled in it right now. We'll deal with that in the Gemara in 8 pages or 7 pages from now on Daf Chet Amud Bet mefaresh maihi. Shte shurot. I'll take a little survey right now. Who thinks that we're going to get to it? All right. Shte shurot hachitzonot mefaresh bagmara. The Gemara will also explain. I mean, if you want to, you know, ask yourself why Rashi had to do that. You know, okay, I understand he told us the Gemara is going to explain later. Very good. Why does he have to repeat that afterwards by the words of Bet Hillel? I mean, obviously, if the Gemara is going to explain Bet Shammai's words, you know, so the Gemara is going to explain Bet Hillel also. Maybe it could be that Rashi felt that the language of Bet Shammai is a bit more complicated here. It could be that the words Shte Shurot Al Pene Kol Hamartev is what lends to all kinds of ideas. So he tells you Mifaresh Bagmara Maihi. Don't worry, the Gemara will tell us what does that mean. When it comes to the next part, which is easier to understand, Rashi says, by the way, the Gemara will also explain that one also. So, okay, we'll see that, Be'ezrat Hashem. So far, we saw that Rashi told us that the reason for bodkim et hametz, for bedikat hametz, is in order not to be over on bali ra'eh u'bali matzeh. So now, just as an introduction, you know, just as a little seed planted in the mind, if someone would ask you, is bedikat chametz itself? I really want to ask something.
No.
Okay.
My microphone on.
Well, yeah, we hear you. That's okay. Sorry. That's okay. If someone would ask you, the act of bedikat chametz, is it deoraita or derabanan? Normally, you know, before we started learning, I think that the consensus is that it's midrabanan, the bedikat chametz is midrabanan. But once Rashi tells us that it's bichdei shelo ya'avor al lo yira'e velo yimatze, it could very well be that it's possible, according to Rashi, that it's midoraita. Because if this is the act that is necessary in order not to be over on bali ra'e bali matze, so included in the isur of lo yira'e velo yimatzeh means search out your home. Do bedikat chametz. So it could be that implicit in the words of Rashi here is that he's telling us it's the oraita. We're going to see that more meforash.
The other side is what? It's an asmachta?
No, the other side is not that it's... first of all, bali ra'e bali matzeh is not an asmachta at all. That's clearly midoraita. The question is bedikat chametz the oraita or the rabbanan? Bali ra'e, not to have, not to find, you know, not to have found, I mean, chametz in your home, that's the oraita. No, nobody argues with that. That's the oraita. It's not a smachta. But the question is the act that precedes that. How do you go about making sure that you're in a matzav of lo yira'e velo yimatzeh? From Rashi, it may seem, it's not 100%, it may seem that it's deoraita, because if it's in order shelo ya'avor, if the only way for me not to be transgress lo yira'e velo yimatzeh is to do bedika, it sounds like it's deoraita. And we'll see that more explicitly in the Ran, Be'ezrat Hashem. What we're about to see in Tosfot is the opposite. Tosfot holds clearly that bedikat chametz is totally a takanat chachamim, and it's not in order to, you know, not be over on lo yira'e velo yimatzeh, it's for a different reason. So it's according to Tosfot, we are going to clearly see that it's midrabanan. Let's see the first words of Tosfot. We're not going to do the entire Tosfot right now. I want to just do the first part, and then have the Mishnayot, the pages that we learned yesterday, have them handy by you, so that we'll look into it in a few minutes. So let's read the beginning of Tosfot. Who would like to offer services to read Tosfot? Okay, Bechavot, Daniel, go ahead.
Okay. Orla Abasar, Kavodkin and the Chametz. Perish of Kudrus, Shalola Avor, Allah, Bevalya, Uvalya Matzeh.
Beautiful.
So he says that according to Rashi, in order that you wouldn't be over the Avera of Valyra, Uvalya Matzeh. The Kashalari, Kevon the Tsarif Bitul, Kevon the Tsarif Bitul, Kedam Rabbi Gemara. And it's difficult to re-ask the question on it because it needs to be bitul. You have to be bitul it, like balel.
Right, bitul is required. What's how will we explain bitul in English? In English, I think what is that?
To nullify.
Yes, nullification. Very good. To nullify the chametz, right? When do we do that? When we say kal chamira v'chamia di'ikav birshuti livtil. I am hereby declaring that any chametz that might be in my reshut, I'm considering it in my heart, batel, nullifying it as the afar of the earth. So that's bitul. So since we are required to do bitul, as the Gemara says, what does the Gemara say? Go ahead. So what is the quote from the Gemara Davav? Only three words. Period. Abotek tzarich sheivatel. So what does the Gemara Davav tell us? That when you do bedika, you can't just stop right there. That's not enough. Bedika is not enough. You have to do bitul afterwards as well. Abotek tzarich sheivatel. Very important, right? So now, if that's the case, go ahead, continue. Umidoraita.
Then Medoraita would be enough to just be bitul it and not do bedikat chametz.
In other words, if all I'm worried about is not to transgress lo yira'eh velo yimatzeh, so bebitul b'al masagi. If I do bitul, if I nullify, so what happens? How nullification works, how bitul works, we'll get into that later on in the perek. It's also machloket Rashi Tosfot, right? If it's hefker, if it's not hefker, if it's tashbitu, or if it's hefker, so we'll see that later on. But one thing we do know, the Gemara says that bebitul be'al masagi, that with bitul alone, it's enough not to be over an lo yira'eh velo yimatzeh. So then the question is, since number one, you told me I have to do bitul. Number two, you tell me, as far as Doraita is considered, bitul alone works. So then the question is, am I? Go ahead, Daniel.
So why do the Chachamim have to institute to do Bedika at all?
Beautiful. Rashi, we don't understand what you're saying. You're saying, Rashi is saying that the reason for Bedika is in order not to be over on Bali Ra'eh Bali Matzeh. In order not to be over on Bali Ra'eh Bali Matzeh, that's taken care of already by Bitul. Because don't tell me you didn't do bitul. The Gemara tells us habodek tzarich sheivater. So you can't go without bitul. If you can't go without bitul, and bitul already makes it that you're not over on lo yira'eh lo yimatzeh, so then what's the reason for bedika? Back to square one. That's the question that the Ri asks on Rashi. Yes, Shagan.
It should not be found. So but we're saying bitur. So what does that mean, bitur? That if you kind of have it out in the open and you were in the
good point. Good point. So that's obviously something that we're going to talk about a lot. Does bitul help even for chametz that you can see? That's called chametz be'ayin. Chametz be'ayin means chametz that you can actually see. It's right in front of you. So if let's say I did bitul, does that help? Don't make the mistake to think lo yira'eh means it should not be seen, that if I see it, I'm over. I could see chametz on Pesach. It's possible to see and not be over. Because when it says not to be seen, it means not to be owned. Why does the Torah bring it out in the words not to be seen? We'll see later in the Gemara that the Gemara deals with. There's a lot to deal with in this mitzvah of lo yira Elohim matzeh. But in general, see, you asked me for the strict definition. The strict definition is it should not be seen, it should not be found. But the real definition is you should not own chametz. So if you should not own, bitul helps, right? Of course, you remember, I think, who is it? Rabbi Berman, that he mentioned the chakira from Rav Soloveitchik. If it's ownership that's the problem, or shayachut, that's the relationship with the chametz. If you were by the shiur p'ticha, so you remember he spoke about that. We'll get into some of those yesodot be'ezrat Hashem. We do have a lot to do. But the point is, right now it's focused. Tosfot is asking on Rashi, you said it's in order not to be over on bari rei bani matzeh. Bitul be'al masagi. Bitul helps for that. So we're back to the question, what's the purpose of bedika? Okay, what's the answer? Who would like to read the answer of Tosfot? Yosef, b'chavod. V'nir'e l'ri.
V'nir'e l'ri. Afal gav desagi b'bitul be'alma. Even though it's enough, the bitul by itself. Hechmiru chachamim livdok chametz. He live aro. Shelo yavo le'echlo. The rabbis were strict to also burn it, so you shouldn't come to eat it.
They didn't just say to burn it. What? Hechmiru chachamim.
To check for the chametz and live aro and to burn it.
Stop right there. So what is Tosfot saying? What's the reason for Bidikat Chametz?
To burn it?
Well...
So you shouldn't come to eat it.
Oh, so according to Tosfot, first of all, you see clearly that the reason that Bidikat Chametz is 100% Derabanan. It's not Deoraita at all. Right? Because mi Deoraita in order not to be overran bali rai bali matzeh bebitul be'al masagi. Why do I need bedika? Chachamim were scared that I might find a nice, delicious little bagel on Chag HaPesach, and I might come to eat it. Some people, when just at the sight of the bagel, they lose themselves, and they, you know, you can't trust them anymore. So therefore, Chachamim said, get rid of it. What's the beginning of the getting rid of something? The beginning of the getting rid of something is bedika. It's checking for it. You can't get rid of something if you don't look for it. So first you have to look for it. So the whole idea of bedika is shema yavo le'ochlo. And now Tosfot wants to show a proof that this is the reason for bedika. Go ahead, Yosef.
V'chen mashma le'kaman daf yuram ur-bet, deba'i rava kikar v'shme korah. I guess rava, he needed a piece of bread on a...
No. What's ba'i?
I'm not sure.
Very good, Yosef.
Yes.
Ask, very good. Bai is always that tricky word, right? Bai has, you know, does it mean required? Does it mean needed? Does it mean asked? Over here, it's asked. Rava asked the question, Kikar bishmei Korah. If let's say you have you know that there is bread on the top of the beams of the ceiling. All right? So now, it's not accessible and you're not, you know, going up there anytime soon, Bichlal. So what is there to worry about? Do I have to check there as well? So that was his question. And the Gemara explains the tzedadim of the safek, and one of the tzedadim, one of the sides of the safek is, Odilma, maybe, read on, Yosef. You have the place? Odilma, Yosef? Odilma zimnin de nafal ve'ati lemechle. You got it? I think Yosef froze. All right. Odilma zimnin de nafal ve'ati lemechle. Sometimes it may fall and you're going to come to eat it. Oh, so what do we see here? That the Gemara takes for granted that the reason for bedika is what? Shema yavo le'ochlo. That's why the tzad to say that you have to check for kikau bishmei korah is because sometimes it could fall. Yeah, you're not going up there anytime soon, but maybe it's going to fall through the cracks and you might come to eat it. So put a dot there, put a period in right after the word lemechle, because there's a new phase in Tosfot that begins from there. We'll leave that for later. If you don't mind, open up to the Mishnayot. I'd like to see the Baal Tenura with you, and then the Tosfot Yom Tov. All right? Just excuse me for 1 minute, please. That's okay. That's all right.
Where are we up to?
So we continued a few more words in Tosfot there. Tosfot shows that what was the reason that the Gemara says there that you should do Bedika even for the Kikar Bishmei Korah? Because Zimnin Denafal, because sometimes it'll fall, and Yavo Ve'ati Lemechle, you're going to come to eat it. So what do you see clearly, says Tosfot? From that Gemara we see that Bedikat Chametz is the reason for it is because Shema Yavo Le'ochlo. So
and Od Dilma comes as what, like service to function what?
Od Dilma is he's skipping the first part of the Safek. He's just quoting the second part of the Safek of the Gemara. If you look up the Gemara there in the feud, you'll see the whole why you shouldn't have to check Bishmei Korah. And the Odilma, or maybe you should have to check, because even though you don't go there, but the bread can come to you. It could fall down to you. Shema Yavo Le'ochlo. So basically...
I missed that. I thought it was the second answer of why we need...
No, that's a quote from the Gemara.
Very similar to...
It's a quote. Yeah. From there, Tosfot proves that really Bidikat Chametz is only Midrabanan, and it's Shema Yavo Le'ochlo. So right now... If you're asked, why do we do Bidikat Chametz? According to Rashi, in order not to be over on Bali Raya Bani Matzeh. According to Tosfot, in order, they made a takana, a gzera, Shema Yavo Le'ochlo. Because it's a chashash, you might come to find something during the Chag and come to eat it. Let's open up the Mishnayot to see the Baal Tenura. The Baal Tenura brings both Shitot, and in between he brings... a little bit from the Ran. Let's see what he says. Does everyone have that? Lail shelemachorato yeyudalid. The night of which the next day will be the 14th. Vekore hatana la laila o. And he says the reason why the Tana calls the night by the word light, interesting, even in English it's very close, light and night. You know, L and N can be interchangeable. Lamed and Nun are letters that, you know, are interchangeable. So light and night. That's nice. I like that. Anyway, V'kore hatana lelaila o, kederech shekorim la'iver saginaho. That even rhymes. He tells us, just like we call in Chazal, we find many times, the name of a blind man is called Sagi Nahor. Who knows the strict definition, to use your words, Shachar? What's the strict definition of Sagi Nahor?
Is it sufficient light?
I think more than sufficient. Sagi, I know why you say sufficient, because Sagi means always in the Gemara enough, sufficient. Very good. You're not wrong. But it means profusion. It means a lot also. So, Sagi Nahor means a lot of light, filled with light. So how do we call the blind man? A person who's filled with light. So that becomes like the type of figure of speech. Whenever we want to say something in the opposite way, because we don't want to use the negative connotation, and therefore we use the opposite, that's what is it called in Chazal? Lashon Sagi Nahor. It's the Lashon of what we call the Iver. So according to the Baal Tenura, the reason why the Tana calls the nighttime, the Tana didn't want to say Lel Arba Asar. You want to start off your first word in the Masechet with the word Lel, which is nighttime. That's so nice. Look at that. Look how meticulous Chazal were, or the Torah is. You know, when I say Chazal here, based on what I told you before, we're going back all the way to the ancient Nusach of the Mishnah. So when it says it's in order not to have to use the word Lail, which is negative. We use the word which is Lashon Sagino. Velishna me'alya nakat. We like to use a good terminology, good language. Lishna me'alia nakat. I'm not going to get into it be'arichut now. There's a lot to talk. I once made a whole drashat Shabbat Gadol out of this point. And we see dafka this message, and we're going to learn extensively about it in the first two pages, the message of lishna me'alia nakat, of using good language, dafka in Pesach. You know, and what's the word Pesach? Pesach, famous from the Ari HaKadosh, right? Pesach means the mouth talking. When does the Jewish mouth move a lot? That's Leila Seder, Magid. Magid is the longest, you know, thing where it's supposed to talk aloud. Kol amarbe lesaper bitziat mitzayim, hare ze meshupach. We're supposed to talk a lot. So dafka in the Chag, where we are told to speak over profusely the Shevach of Hashem, that's where we are immediately introduced to a hint of Lishna me'alia nakat. You're asked to speak a lot. Make sure that you speak correctly. Make sure that your words are clean, that your words are pure. And so only with a clean language can a person enter into the Holy Chag of Pesach using his mouth as a kli sharet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chas v'shalom, if a person talks about, you know, things that are immodest, that are immoral, and uses foul language or anything, or lashon hara or anything like that, then that's, you know, he could eradicate all the chametz, physical chametz he wants in his house, but the main chametz, which is in his mouth, is still there, so he's using that mouth to praise Hashem. That's very bad. So that's why dafka in Psachim we have the hint of lishna me'al yanakat. Continuing on in the Bar Tenura, bodkim et hachametz. So the Bar Tenura brings the reasons, the machloket rishonim. It de mefarshi. There are those that explain, tama de bdika, the reason for bedika, kedesh shelo yavor al bali ra'e u bali matze. That's Rashi, right? In order not to be over on bali ra'e, bali matze. If you're going to allow for chametz to be in your house and you're not going to check out and eradicate it, then you're going to be over an lo yirayel, lo yimatzeh. Immediately the Bar Tenura brings the question which can be asked on Rashi. And even though bitul is enough, that's Tosfot's question. So be'emet, if you want to get a quick relief over here, what does Rashi answer to Tosfot's question, right? Tosfot's question was, kasheleri, that the bebitul be'al masagi. So why are you telling me that the bedika is for the purpose of not to be over on bali ra'e? So a quick relief here, he gives us, from, we're going to see this in the Ran, when we learn it inside. Be'af el gav de bebitul be'al masagi, chayshinan, still we're scared, shema yimtza giluska yefefia. Maybe you're going to find a beautiful roll of bread during the Chag, and what's going to happen? We're not about you're going to come to eat it. That's what Tosfot says later. But we're worried about the following: ve'yimalech. All right, that's the correct reading. Ve'yimalech al bitulo. What's ve'yimalech? What's nimlach in Hebrew, guys? It's lashon malchut, but it's not really about kingdom here. What's ve'yimalech? You'll change your mind. In the Lashon of Chaz Ariel, is that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. In Nimlach, we find this all the time. In Halakha, in the Gemara, Nimlach bedato means that you think it over in your mind. You change your mind. So, Rechoshesh, maybe you're going to find a nice roll of bread during the Chag. V'imalech al bitulo. And you're going to change your mind. You're going to regret your bitul. V'yachshov alea leochla. It's not even a matter that you're going to actually eat it, but you're going to have in mind, boy, I would like to eat that. That second when you think in your mind, boy, I would like to eat that, that's called a nimlach on the bitul. What, are you regretting the bitul that you did? Erev Pesach, you said it's ka'afa da'ara. Nobody ever wants to eat afa da'ara. And here you're saying, I wish I could eat that. That's nimlach al bitulo, because it looks so nice. Such a nice roll with sesame seeds on it, with the, you know, it's all looking good. So we're worried about that happening. And what happens instantly? V'yavor alav al bali ra'e u'bali matzeh. And right then and there, you're going to be over on bali ra'e u'bali matzeh, because you now changed, you removed the bitul, retroactively, and once you remove the bitul, now it becomes you're the owner again of this gluska yefefia, and hence you are over on lo yira'e ve lo yimatze. So hilkach botkim et hachametz kedei levaaro min haolam. Therefore, we check and we search out for the chametz in order to eradicate. So what is the Baal Tanura saying here in defense of Rashi? He's saying that yes, the reason for the bedika is in order not to be over on balirai balimatze. And if you ask me the question of the ri, but for that bitul is enough, the answer is no, it's not. No, it's not, because we're worried that maybe you're going to undo the bitul, where you're going to be, you'll lose yourself at the sight of that beautiful roll of bread, and for a second you're going to take back, you're going to retract the bitul, and on the spot you're over and lo yira'e lo yimatzeh. So adding all that up together means that the purpose of the bedika, which in essence means to remove the chametz from the house, is for the very reason that Rashi said, not to be over on balirei balimatzeh. That's a synopsis of how the Ran is going to answer for Rashi. We're going to see that more extensively. Then the Baal Tanura continues, Ve'it de amri tama de bedika is gezera shema imtza chametz beveto bepesach v'yochlenu. This is Tosfot. Tosfot says that some say the reason, the Baal Tanura says some say, which means the Tosfot says, that the reason for the bedika is a gezerah, maybe you're going to find and eat that roll on Pesach, kevan she'en ragil lihiyot badel mimenu kol she'ar yemot hashana. That already touches upon the continuation of Tosfot that we did not see, and that is because we're worried. How is it that we're worried that you're going to eat the piece of, you know, the slice of pizza or the bagel, that you're going to all of a sudden eat it on Pesach? The reason for that is because you're not used to being separate from the bread the whole year. All year long, you eat bread. Bread is a staple. It's a daily staple. So if a person is caught off guard and he doesn't think properly, he might come to eat it for a second, and after the first bite, he wants to kill himself. How did I forget that it's Pesach? In order to avoid that, that's the reason why we do bedika, which means that worry is not shayach according to Rashi. It's only according to Tosfot that we start asking ourselves, why are we worried that you're going to come to eat it? The answer is, kevan she'en ragil yot badel mimenu. We are not ragil, we're not in the habit of being separated, badel, min lashon avdala, from the bread all throughout the years. So out of habit, you might come to eat it.
Rav, can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
In regards to what we're saying, like the Baal Tanura's answer to Rashi, isn't there also like the inyan from like that I've heard from the Rambam that like this is a general thing, like when it comes to something that's like non-kosher, aren't we supposed to say, oh, that's not this, like we're not supposed to say, oh, that's disgusting, stay away from it. We're supposed to say like, oh, I wish I could have something like that. So can't we say the same in the honor in regards to like chametz, like, oh, I wish I could have that, but Hashem told me I can't have that right now, so I have to stick away from it. Isn't that kind of like, can't you say that the same in the honor when he's talking about this nice piece of bread?
Wow, that's a very nice point you bring up. I never thought of it like that. What you're referring to, you quote the Rambam, but it's really the words of Chazal that a person is supposed to say efshi ve'efshi, meaning I surely can, if I would want, you know, I can eat that piece of non-kosher meat. Umayese, but what can I do? The Torah was decreed upon me not to eat it, which means we have to make sure that we fulfill the Torah, not because it fits with our desires, but because we listen to the word of Hashem. So you're deriving from there that we're supposed to go around when we see something non-kosher, we're supposed to say, well, that's really, it looks really good and I wish I could eat it, but I can't eat it. So you're asking, does that apply also to chametz? That's a good point. Does that apply to chametz bePesach, to look at a bagel, a nicely made bagel, and to say, boy, that looks so good, that would go so well with cream cheese right now, but ma'aseh, the Torah was gozer not to eat chametz. To be honest, I never heard that midrash being used for chametz. So you ask a very good point, because it could be that the second that you're saying that looks good and I wish I can eat it, you're ruining your bitu and you're over on bali ra'e. So it could be on a practical level, you shouldn't be saying that. I wish I could talk more about, in general, that statement of Chazal. There's a lot to be said on that, to understand it properly. It's not that we're supposed to go around saying, I wish I could eat it. In fact, the Torah says, Shaketz te shaketzenu. We're supposed to abhor something that we're not supposed to eat. But the way we reach that level of abhorring is that we are batel to the Ratzon of Hashem. But that's something to talk about a different time. But I like that idea that it could be, so Ariel, this is what I'm taking from your words, that it could be that when it comes to chametz, we shouldn't be saying that. Because that might ruin the bitul that we did. Good point.
Understood.
Good point. Before we continue in the Baal Tanu on the Mishnah, turn very quickly to the Tosfot Yom Tov on the right side, okay? So, Ole Arba'asar, very quickly, I have a few minutes. Ole Arba'asar, Katav Harav, that means Harav Baal Tanura, Lel, Velishna Me'al Yanakat. That's a quote from the Baal Tanura. Then, Mesayem HaRambam, the Rambam actually goes a little bit further, he says, Shelo Tiye Ptichat HaSefer V'Shem HaHe'eder. We don't want to open up, we don't want to begin a book, a Masechet, with a negative noun. Lel is the lack of light, right? Nighttime is darkness, is the lack of light. That's a negative, has a negative connotation to that. And therefore, that's what the Rambam says. We don't want to begin on a negative note. V'haraza v'haran, raza means Rabbeinu Zerachya Levi, the bottom O. And the Ran, katvu od al shem petach devarecha yair. It's a pasuk in Tehilim, kuf yutet, that the opening remarks should always be illuminating, should always give off light. So therefore, it's not just we don't want to use a negative word, but it's even more than that. We specifically want to use a word of light. Petach devarecha yair. Okay? Next, Tosot Yom Tov, bodkim et hametz. Now pay attention. Katav harav, af al gav debibitul be'al masagi. He's going to focus on the answer that the Baal Tanura gave for Rashi. So what was the question on Rashi? Bitul be'al masagi, bitul is enough. The alfinan midichtiv tashbitu velo ktiv tevaru veashpata delevi ashpata. According to Rashi, later on in Daf Dalet, we learn from the fact that the Torah says tashbitu seor and it doesn't say tevaru. Hashbata delevi ashbata. Ashbata means nullifying it in the heart. That's also a nullification. Kedepirish Rashi Daf Dalet. Uma shekatav, and this that he answered, Shema yimtza v'yimalech al bitulo v'yechashev. Right? What about Tanura say? That maybe you're going to find a nice roll of bread and you're going to regret, you'll retract the bitul and it will be important in your eyes and therefore you're over on lo yira elo yimatze. See, listen to the explanation of the Tosfot Yom Tov. Klomar. Dekmo shebe bitul be'alma dehainu balev. Sheyachshov belibo keilu hu afar sagi bekach. Just like bitul itself, what is bitul? Thinking about the chametz as if it is afar be'alma. It's enough to think alone these thoughts, and that's already bitul. Yes, we do verbalize it in order to make sure that our thought is crystallized, to solidify our machshava. But it's called bitul belev. The mitzvah of bitul is in the mind. The machshava alone is enough. Af al pi shelo hotzi bisfatav klum. Even if you did not articulate it, you are yotze with bitul b'machshava bilvad. So the Tosfot Yom Tov says, hachinami b'machshava be'alma chozer mi bitulo. Therefore, since to begin with, the bitul was a thought alone can also retract it, can undo it. Vezocheba, and you become the owner once again. The machshava mevatelet machshava, because machshava is able to be mevatel a machshava. So the Tosfot Yom Tov is explaining, apparently he was bothered, how can you just undo the bitul just like that, just by thinking about how nice the gluskaya fefiya is? The answer is, the bitul itself is a machshava, and you can undo a machshava with a machshava. So if you look in the Rashash, if you have the Rashash in front of you, and we'll conclude with this, the first Rashash on the Masechet, he brings first the Bar Tenura. Ite mefarshe de tamed de samchina bitul de chayshinan shema imtza geluskay efefiya venimlach al bitulo. Umila haTosfot Yom Tov et dvarav. Rashash uses a fancy way of saying the Tosfot Yom Tov filled in the words of the Bar Tenura. De machshava mevatelet machshava, right? The Tosfot Yom Tov explains the Bar Tenura by saying that a machshava can be mevatel a machshava. Says the Rashash, ve'en tzarich leze. You don't need to say this, he says. Dafilu l'Resh Lakish, even according to Resh Lakish in Kiddushin Dafnun Tet Amud Bet, lefi de'matni Rav Zevid, according to what Rav Zevid learns there, hacha, over here, kevan de da'ato liknot, kani le'reshuto. Over here it's different. You see, there's a whole thing, according to Resh Lakish, if a machshava can be mevatel a machshava, machshava mevatel a dibur, dibur mevatel a dibur. Whole discussion in the Gemara in Kiddushin. He says over here it's different. It's not just a machshava. When you actually like what you see in that gluskaya fefiya, the second you have that machshava to be zoche, your reshut is kone. Your chatzer, wherever the bagel is, wherever it's found, your house, your reshut, your domain is kone, that's kinyan chatzer. So the second you like it, you want it, there is an activation that takes place, and that is called a kinyan of your reshut. So it's not just that your machshava is mevatel a machshava. You know what was mevatel the bitul? The kinyan that just took place. There's a kinyan that actually was activated right now by your desire of that bagel. So therefore, in other words, the Tosfot Yom Tov wanted to help out the Bar Tenura by saying that since the bitul is machshava, so the machshava can be mevatelit. You don't need to say that, because it's not machshava alone over here that we have. It's a kinyan reshut, a kinyan chatzel that is working, that now you become the newly owner once again of that roll of bread. And therefore, that is mevatel, the bitul that you did before. That nullifies the bitul of before. And then he goes on to ask a very big question on the Bar Tenura, very quickly. Omnam lichora ikar divrei harav tamua dalekaman mucha. You know what? We'll continue that Bezat Hashem next time in order to understand that clearly. So we'll stop here for today, and